Again, Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 7. And then we'll add to the witness out of the book of Judges, verse 29. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I'm going to ask that you follow along in whatever translation of the Bible you may be holding. These are the words of the preacher. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. They do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and pay. And do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the works of your hand? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. But fear God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's add to the witness this Sunday morning out of the book of Judges, 11:29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and he passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he advanced towards the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he defeated them from Orah as far as Manith, 20 cities, and to Cable Caron with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing. And she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me. For I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it. Amen? I cannot go back on my vow to God. We're going to have a word of prayer. The Lord will consecrate our time together. But I just want to leave two thoughts in our hearts today as we look at the Word of God. And that is this. I want you to watch what you say, and I want you to pay what you owe. Amen. Our God and our Father, you turn our attention and our affection towards the holy Mount of Zion. We turn to you because there is no one else we can turn to. Thou alone has the words of eternal life. Thou alone can speak peace into our hearts and into the stones of life. So we come even as the saints of God did in the days of old, asking the simple question, is there any word from the Lord? Amen. Lord, though we are different in our backgrounds, or we are different in our circumstances and even our upbringing, yet we are all the same to you. You know the very details of our beings. Even the hairs on our head are numbered by the finger of God. So there is nothing secret, there is nothing hidden, there is nothing that we can hold back from the all-seeing eye of God. You saw us even before we were born, even before we were conceived. In our mother's womb, you had already purposed, planned, and set forth in motion what our lives should be and how we should serve you. So keeping with your divine plan and your sovereign will for our lives, use this time, use your word, use your spirit to begin to shape and to mold us and to cause us to walk in the path of righteousness, not of our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of God. You declared in your word that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So what are our steps this morning? Through the word of God and by your Holy Spirit, cause us to be changed, shaped, and moved into the will of God by your very word. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated all over the church. Today, we live in a world and in a society where people will say, text, and tweet anything. Maybe that is brought to the forefront in recent times because of political or government leaders who say, tweet, or text anything. Could it be also brought to the forefront because now we have birthed a generation that holds no respect or reverence for anyone, including themselves? Could it be that we are faced with this reality where people now say and do anything without any regard of repercussion, fear, or reprisal? Because in fact, they have no regard or fear for their own lives. Therefore, the temptation to say, the temptation to do, is so overwhelming because they have not been taught or trained in how we ought to govern ourselves in this world, first before God, then before our parents, and then to whom honor is due. But as believers, we are cautioned that we should listen more and speak less. And this might seem odd because it is in fact counter to the culture which we now live in. But might I remind you that the Bible says we are in the world, but not of it. We are called to be the light of the world and also the salt of the earth. And any time you pick up the salt shaker and sprinkle it, you have one intent in mind, is you desire that salt to change whatever you shake it on. And so it is with the people of God. He calls us the salt of the earth because he wants us to be different enough so that when he sprinkles us out, we do not conform to the world, but we become change agents in the world. Amen. Might I remind you that the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but rather be ye transformed, changed, made different by the renewing of your mind. Amen. This is God's will concerning us. And while we live in a world where people say anything, we as believers, we must learn to hold our peace, not just in the world, but also in the house of God and among the people of God. Amen? The thing that we have to be careful of when we come together as believers, and while we are comfortable with people coming as they are, from where they are, there is a proper way to approach God. Amen. Don't worry, I'm going to keep working. And as the people of God, we must know that, honor that, and practice that.
Amen.
Are you with me on that?
Amen.
So here in this book of wisdom, the preacher here in the center of his letter now says these words. He says that we ought to walk prudently when we go to the house of God.
Amen.
Prudently, wisely, discreetly,
amen,
with understanding.
Yes.
Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools.
Amen.
This is what the preacher says in the book of wisdom. Amen. That there is a proper way to go to church. And that proper way to go is with the proper attitude. When we go to church, one, we ought to go prepared to hear, to listen more than to speak. When we go to the house of God, we ought to go and be prepared to obey versus discard. The Bible says it is more common for us to not only be hearers of the word, but what? Be what? Doers also. So we should approach the house of God. We should approach the name of God, that when we gather here, that we are coming in with the intent to listen, to hear from God, to weigh what the word of the Lord says, and then become a doer of God's word. Are you with me on that? 1 Samuel 15:22, familiar passage. It says, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? For behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. There is nothing you can do that is more advantageous to your spiritual growth and development, greater than simply obeying the word of God.
Amen.
There is nothing you can offer up as a substitute. Well, I won't obey the word of God, but I'll do this. I'll serve here. I'll give this. I'll give that. God has no delight in that. He would rather you not offer that and simply obey. That's all you got to do. You don't have to play, let's make a deal with God. You don't have to say, God, if I do this, you do that. We're missing the fact the preacher's going to tell us here in a minute. Don't do that, because why? God is in heaven and you are on the earth. There's a difference between him and you. Am I right about it? Many, when they think about going to church, they think about how they are or should dress, meaning their clothing and their outward appearance, when the real concern when we go to church should be how we are dressed.
Amen.
You got to say with me, church.
Amen.
Not how we dress, but how we are dressed. Meaning the spiritual, the inward part, how we address God.
Amen.
Because all too often, we put too much emphasis on the outer appearance, only to hear the word of God tell us that man alone looks at the outer appearance. But God, when he looks down, he looks not on the outer appearance, but he looks on the inward appearance and the heart of a man.
Amen.
Am I right about it? So this is the proper way to come to church. Not to over-focus on how we are adorned outwardly, But moreover, how are we prepared inwardly so that when I get to the house of the Lord, I can hear and obey?
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Yes.
Now, verse 2, do not be rash with your mouth. Let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. That word rash, you don't hear that used too often these days. To be rash means to act hastily or without due consideration. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything before God, because God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. What the preacher is telling us, he's saying, don't say too much and don't talk too fast. I need more young people. Young people, y'all should get behind me on that. You ever try to have a conversation with a young person today? One thing you know, that when a person is really young, and I don't know what they are, I'm in the millennials generation, and I don't know what they are, but you know they're young, and I know that they're young, and I know I was young. Here is one way you can always tell a young person. You ready for it? Young people know everything. That's how you can tell it. It's not about age, it's not about height, it's not about the style of dress. All you got to do is ask them something, and if they refuse to say, I don't know, they're young. Because young people know everything. It is only when you get old that you realize that's how you know you're old. Not because of what your social security or your birth certificate say. When you finally get enough sense to come to yourself and realize, I don't know. I mean, the little bit I thought I knew, I'm even questioning that now. That's a sign of you getting up in age. Am I right about it? So look, the preacher's helping us. He's saying what? Don't say too much. And when you talk to God, don't talk too fast. Don't be rash with your mouth. Don't feel like you got to make a deal with God. The reality is that God has already made a deal with us. He has already provided the question to the, he's already provided the answer to the question of the ages. He has already provided the propitiation for our sins in the form of his Son. So we don't have to make a deal with God. We simply have to trust and obey. Am I right about it? Look what the tax collector says, Matthew 6 and 7. Says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Don't ever think you're giving God new information. God, listen. I know you don't even know what's going on. Let me bring you up to speed, Lord, about what's really going on. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both the good and evil of all men. So look, you don't have to play. Let's make a deal with God. Verse 3, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by many words. Watch out for people who talk too much. It is not a sign of wisdom. It is a sign of foolishness. When you live long enough and are in enough life experiences and a life situation, you will soon find out that the guy holding the most cards at the table is the one not saying nothing. That's the one you need to keep your eye on. That's the one you need to mark and watch. Because he doesn't have to use his words to convince you. Do you follow what I'm saying? He's going to let it play out right before you.
So always, and then this is, I'm helping young people this Sunday, watch out for people who talk too much. Watch out for people who know everything about everybody. There's got to be something or somebody you don't know something about. You know what I mean? So watch out for that. The preacher's helping us here. And now he comes down here, and then now verse 4 and 5, now we get to the meat of it. He says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay. Raise your hand if you ever made a vow to God. And I know you're scared now because you've heard the word of the Lord. I should have asked that 10 minutes ago. But we know how it is. When life begins to press up against us, we have a tendency to make a vow to God. When life goes dark and situations become grim, oftentimes in our prayer life, we will find ourselves making a vow to God. Saying, God, if you just deliver me this time, Lord, if you just heal my body this time, I'll serve you. If you can get me back to where I was this time, I'll really praise you. I'll really bless your name. I'll really go all in for you. Never realizing that God wants to do that anyway. It is God's will to do you good and not evil. And if you understand that as a believer, it will cause you to pause and not make a rash statement or make a vow to God that you can't keep. Here's, I'm gonna let you know how I know I'm getting old, girl, and not young, girl. Starting to realize I don't know everything. And one of the things I'm starting to realize is not only do I not know everything, I don't even know myself as well as I thought. There are some things, Mark, when I was a young man, I said I would never do. I went on record. This is before YouTube. This is before. I went on record and said, I will never. But I was young. Foolish. Spoke too quick. I didn't have enough life experience behind me. And I began to say some things that I would never do, only to find myself later in life doing the very things. Before I finish, somebody will say amen. I'm going to keep working on it. Look what the apostle says. He says, the things I desire to do, I do not. And the very things that I would not do, that's the very stuff I find myself doing. So all of that to say is we can't even be sure of ourselves. Are you with me? So how could we have the confidence to make a vow to God if we're not even sure how we want to feel tomorrow? So the preacher is helping us. He's saying, what? Don't do it. The preacher is helping us. He's saying, look, watch what you say before God. I know what you told me when we were young boys and we were young men growing up, and I remember what you said. I remember what you did. But when you talk to God, don't talk to God that way. Because God is in heaven and we are here on the earth. And when you speak to God, you got to be careful not to make a vow and not pay it. Because whatever you say to God, God will require it of you. All right, am I right about it? Deuteronomy 23 and 21 says this. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will require it of you. And it would be a sin to you to vow and not pay. Come on, this is in your Bible. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be a sin to you. That which has gone from your lips shall you shall perform, for you voluntarily vow to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth.
Amen.
Find somebody in the church and just tell them, watch what you say. Watch what you say, because God is listening. Watch not only what you promised me, watch out what you promised God. Because God does not take that stuff lightly. And what I'm trying to help you to understand is that when we are pressed with the pressures of life, we don't have to make a vow to God. We don't have to make a bargain with God. We don't have to make a deal with God. All we have to do is trust God. He desires to do you good and not evil. I have to ask him to heal you. He wants to heal you. You don't have to ask him to bless you. He wants to bless you. But in order to release his goodness, he wants you to be found being obedient. Not making a deal, not making a vow, but simply being obedient. If you got it, say, I got it. So watch out what you say. Why? Because God is listening. And then when you make a vow, you got to be careful. You got to pay what you owe. Look at here. Because one person you don't want to have bad credit with. I wish I had a real church. Everybody's concerned about their credit with Equifax and all the agencies that rate your credit. You're trying to get a new house. You're trying to get a new car. And you're trying to do this. And you're writing letters to everybody trying to explain what happened. But when was the last time you tried to explain to God what you did? When was the last time you went in prayer and said, Lord, I should have never said it. I overstepped my bounds. I thought more of myself than I thought of you. And I made promises that I couldn't keep then, and I sure enough can't keep now. Text your neighbor and say, clean up your credit with God. Here it is, verse 6 and 7. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the works of your hand? So now, let's look at the witness and we'll wrap this thing up. Jephthah, the Gileadite, the ninth judge in Israel. That's important. He wasn't the first. He was the ninth judge in Israel. Judges 11:29, you read it, tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Are you with me? The Spirit of the Lord came up, meaning that he had been chosen and anointed by God to bring deliverance to Israel from the Ammonites. Are you with me? Tell somebody to say, the Spirit of the Lord was on. And watch this. He hadn't even said it. But the Spirit, the anointing was on him. You find that verse 29. The anointing is on him. And God has handpicked him to deliver Israel. That's verse 29. Now verse 30. Look what it says. But he made a foolish and unnecessary vow to the Lord by offering whatever came out of his house first when he came home from battle. So in verse 30, he makes a vow that he didn't have to make. Because verse 29 already told us that what? The Spirit of the Lord was on him. That meant that victory was already guaranteed. Are you following me? The Spirit of the Lord was on him. And God was going to use him just like he had used the previous 8 judges to bring about victory without a battle. Do you follow me? So here he is. Now the story goes. You read it, verse 35. Now he says this. Judges 11:35. However foolish his vow, yet Jephthah understood that he was dealing with the Lord Jehovah.
Amen.
Now he's got the victory. Now he heads home to Mizpah. As is the custom of the Near East ancients, the women come out to celebrate the men of valor. And the women are led this time by his only daughter. She comes out with a timbrel. She comes out with a song and to dance, not only to honor her father, but all of the mighty men of valor that have fought and gotten Israel the victory. And as she comes out, it is now that Jephthah realizes the foolishness of what he said. He says to his daughter, "Oh, my daughter, you who troubled me, I didn't think you would be the first thing out of my house." And now, realizing what he has vowed, realizing what he has promised to God, and what he now must do, Jephthah says these famous words. He said, "I made a vow to God, and I can't take it back. Is that your words today? What vow, what promise have you made to God? What things have you uttered to God in the secrecy of your own prayer closet, in the privacy of your own bedroom, at the side of your own kitchen table, failing to realize that God wants to bless you anyway? But to raise your cachet with God, you made a rash vow. You made a foolish promise. And now you're required to pay." When all we had to do was realize that Jesus paid it all. Any promise ever needed, any offering or sacrifice ever required of God, Christ paid it all.
Amen.
He made a vow to the Father.
Yes.
He said, "If it be thy will, I'll drink it to the drug."
Wow.
He said, "That's my promise to the Father. There's no other way this can be accomplished." He said, "Father, I make a vow to you. I'll lay down my life for them, for their remission of their sins. Not my sins, but their sins. And I'll do it so they won't ever have to try to pay you back." Aren't you glad that Jesus made a vow and didn't take it back? Church, that's the word for the house for the new year. We go into the new year, let's be careful about what we say.
Yeah.
Careful what you say.
Amen.
And whatever you owe, pay it back.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something that I've learned over time. If you promise to do good and it comes at a cost to you, especially a cost greater than what you anticipate, keep your word.
Amen.
Here it is. I'm going to give it to you. God will pay you back.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Don't ever try to back out of it because your circumstances have now changed.
Amen.
Well, when I made that promise, I was working. Well, when I said I would do that, I had a car. Now I don't. No, you promised to do something. Keep your word.
Amen.
I'm telling you what I have learned. God will make up the difference. You follow what I'm saying? Why? Because we are his change agents in the earth. Watch what you say. Pay what you owe. The writer of the wisdom books says this in conclusion to the whole thing. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Amen.
He said, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man.
Amen.
I'm going to wait around the bush to tell you this. You don't have to play let's make a deal with God.
Right.
All you have to do is fear him, obey and keep his commandments, and God will do the rest.
Yeah.
If you got it, say, I got it.
I got it.
The Lord bless you and keep you.